Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Let's go ahead and begin reading here, because today we're going to see the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus' exaltation. Philippians chapter 2, begin reading with verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now that's a tremendous passage of Scripture right there, because it shows you that above everything and above every person, Jesus Christ is exalted. Now yesterday, we saw that the way up is down. We saw that the Lord had to go way down to save us. He had to leave his riches and go into poverty. He had to come down here. He made himself of no reputation. He became a servant in the likeness of men, in the fashion of man. He was humble, obedient, and crucified. Seven steps he took down in his humility. Once the work of redemption was completed, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And now he has experienced and is experiencing and will experience seven steps up from this humility into his exaltation. Now right away we see that he goes into an exalted position. An exalted position. Notice in verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Well, what's his exalted position? He's seated at the right hand of God. Look in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 at verse 33. You know, whenever you have a king and then you have the person at his right hand, that's always the position of power, the position of honor. And God over this universe has the throne, and to his right hand then sits the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Jesus Christ is by the right hand of God exalted. Soon, following the millennial reign of Christ and the turning over the kingdom, they sit on the same throne. It's just during this particular time, from the creation of men until the actual gaining of power over everything, including death, the Lord Jesus Christ has willingly submitted himself to sit in the second seat, the exalted position at the right hand of God. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Highly exalted him. Now notice, when we talked yesterday, we talked about the way up being down, and that in verse 5 of our passage, this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. So you have to remember then, if you want the Lord to exalt you, you've got to follow the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what happened here in Matthew chapter 23, Matthew chapter 23 in verse 12. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So the Lord Jesus Christ willingly stepped down so that the Lord would have an opportunity to exalt him. Obviously, when you go down as low as Christ did, you can't go any lower. And now God has exalted him. Same way is true with us. If you will humble yourself, then you will be exalted. But if you're going to exalt yourself, you're going to be abased. And notice, this is a pattern that the Lord Jesus Christ established for you and for me. 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 6. If the mind that was in Christ is to also be in us, then it becomes a pattern for us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So it is the desire of the Lord to exalt you as you humble yourself to glorify him. And if you don't do that, then no exaltation. the Lord Jesus Christ did, and he was exalted, the same would happen for you. So Jesus Christ was given the exalted position. I love that because I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm glad my Savior, my King, my glory, my goodness, my fortress, my rock, my high tower, my everlasting high priest, I am glad that he is higher than the heavens. I'm glad that he is higher than every creature and every throne and every position in the entire universe, because I'm glad for Jesus Christ. When I listen to these coalitions of nations that are getting together today and these other countries worship other gods like Allah, Allah couldn't hold a candle to the Lord Jesus Christ. Allah is dead. He's the figment of a man's imagination. Muhammad is dead. Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus Christ is exalted. You know the name that people are afraid to name today? The name that is a name that people don't want to mention, they're afraid of it, is the name of Jesus. They'll say the word God because everybody has a God. I mean, maybe the God that you have is yourself, but everybody's got a God. But Jesus Christ, oh boy, now that's a name there. Because Jesus Christ has been exalted by God, and because people are afraid of him, and because they're afraid of the consequences, they don't want to mention his name. Oh, but he has the exalted position. My God does. God hath highly exalted him, and I'm thankful that he did. Now he has the exalted position. He also has the exalted name. Given him a name which is above every name, above Buddha, above Confucius, above Allah, above Jehovah, like the Jehovah's Witnesses used today and all that kind of thing. That name is a given him a name which is above every name. You see that? Without exception. He didn't give you an exception. That's the high name. And it's the name Jesus Christ. And that's the name that men detest today. I don't detest it. I love that name. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And there's no other name in that universe that is any greater than that name. Listen, today you may be in bad health, and you may be hopeful now that there's something that can happen for you, and you've exhausted your means, and you've exhausted your opportunities and abilities with doctors. Listen, there's only one person that can help you. In Acts chapter 4, verse 10, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Listen, I realize there are a lot of shysters out there, and I realize there are a lot of men that are making money on the name of Jesus Christ by professing to be healers. If they're real, let them go heal for free. Jesus said to his disciples when he gave them the gift of healing, freely you have received, freely give. Tear down the tent, quit taking up the offerings, go to the hospital and get the poor victims and patients out of bed if you've got the gift. But you don't. The problem is Jesus Christ and God are still in the healing business, but there are some shysters. There's some fakers. Let me tell you something. God isn't through healing. We see him do that miraculous work nearly every day. People will call and ask for prayer. And we pray and other people pray and God moves and people are healed. That's not us. That's God. That's Jesus Christ. That's the name that got this man up off his seat, and that's the name that's going to get you well. And if Jesus Christ chooses not to bring that healing into your life now, thank God several things are true. First of all, you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're going to get a glorified body when you leave this earth. Secondly, God's going to give you a ton of his grace, where his grace will be sufficient for you in any trial. Thirdly, he's giving you the promise that nothing will separate you, including all of that pain, tribulation, trial, and everything else, distress. Nothing will separate you from his love. He still loves you as much walking as you are sitting. And you've got the promise that if he wanted to, he would, and if he does, he will. You know that. He asked a leper one time, "What wilt thou?" And he said, "Wilt thou make me whole?" He said, "I will." And buddy, he was whole. That's Jesus. That's his name. That's the name where the healing is. Not only that, that's the name of salvation. Look at verse 12 of Acts chapter 4. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name can save you. None. I don't care that you are a witness to Jehovah. Jehovah's name can't save you. If it could, then he would have said the name of Jehovah. But he didn't say the name of Jehovah. He said the name of Jesus. And in Philippians chapter 2, he said that he exalted that name above every name. That's the saving name. You want to get saved? Go to Jesus. You want to get healed? Go to Jesus. You want to get an answer to prayer? Go to Jesus, John chapter 14. He gave you and me specific instructions. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, you want to get a prayer answered? Go to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way to get a prayer answered. See, he is in the exalted position. If he's at the right hand of throne of God right there, then he's going to get something done. Let me tell you something. Don't you go in another name. People want to pray to saints. Don't bother with that. People want to pray in the name of Mary. Don't bother with that. Those are not names that God will respond to in answer to prayer. And I know many of you out there have believed that. I once believed it myself. That's the way I was raised. And out of due respect for my parents and due respect for the people that were teaching in my religion, I chose to believe that. I found out later that while I believed it, it wasn't so. So I don't say that to you to be critical. I say that to you to be helpful. I say that to you to show you that God exalted Jesus Christ. The doctrine of the Assumption of Mary is young. It came up in the 1950s. 50 years old to this date, probably. Well, what are you going to do for the other 1950 years? We know that Jesus Christ was ascended. The other is just a tradition of the church and not recorded in the Bible. Don't go there expecting to get answers to prayer, though you may have dear relations with the religion. Listen to what God said. If you want to get the prayer answered, go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the exalted name. What about justification? You say, well, I don't even understand the doctrine. Well, it's not a difficult doctrine. It just says you've been to trial and you've been found not guilty. You see, a lot of times people get the idea that they're waiting for their judgment and they're waiting for their trial after they serve this life, but that's not true. You will be for service, but not for your destination, not for your sonship. That decision was made when Jesus Christ died on the cross. If you will go to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, then you will be justified because God already judged sin on Jesus Christ at Calvary. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. In verses 9 and 10, there's a list of pretty foul sinners, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, all that kind of stuff. And he said, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified. You can't be justified unless you've been to court. So he says you're already justified. Well, then that means that when Christ died on the cross, if you've trusted him, he's already taken you back to the crucifixion. He's already judged your sin on Jesus Christ, and now you are not guilty. You are justified. How? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Well, that's already done. How? By the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. So he has the exalted position. He's in the highest seat in the universe, next there to God Almighty. It sets up a pattern for us. If you'll humble yourself, he'll exalt you in due time. And he has not only exalted position, but he has an exalted name, a name above every name, whereby you can be healed, saved, get your prayers answered, and be justified. Well, what more do you want? And then notice he's also receives exalted worship, exalted position, exalted name, exalted worship. Look what he says here in verse 10 of Philippians chapter 2, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee should bow. Well, that was prophesied in Isaiah 45 concerning God himself. People say, I don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. Well, the problem is you don't believe the Bible, because the Bible from cover to cover shows you, wherever there's any explanation of it, that Jesus Christ is God. Now, here's God talking in Isaiah chapter 45 in verse 23, and he says, I have sworn by myself. Context, Jehovah is speaking. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee should bow, every tongue should swear. Well, let me tell you something. That is what happens to Jesus Christ. He gets the exalted worship of God Almighty. And he gets that from Christians. Now, we worship him now. You bow before him now. You kneel to pray. Or at least kneel in your heart if you're driving or walking when you pray. But we're also going to face him at the judgment seat of Christ. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So you're going to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ because he gets exalted worship. Now listen, when Nebuchadnezzar ruled back in the days of Daniel, you read about this in the Old Testament in Daniel, in Jeremiah, 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles. When Nebuchadnezzar ruled, he set up an image of gold and wanted everybody to bow down to it. It's a type of the Antichrist's image that's going to be set up in Revelation chapter 13. And everybody's getting used to images these days. You've got television. You have the movies. These are moving, talking images. Those are not real people that you're seeing in the screen. There were real people who were filmed, but what you're looking at now is their talking, moving image. Now you can get on the internet, you can hook up a little camera. The friend you're talking to can hook up a little camera, and y'all can talk to each other and look at each other while you're talking. Quite an amazing thing. You're looking at an image. Well, he set up a golden image, a pillar, and asked people to bow down and worship that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow and would not worship. And the king got mad and decided that he was going to kill them. And they said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we shall serve, or we who serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now during the tribulation, there are going to be people that are cast into hell for worshiping the image of the beast. And you know something? That's because they are not giving the exalted worship to the Lord Jesus Christ that he deserves. They are giving it to a man or to a man's image. Woo! You better think about that. You better think about that. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down to that image, you got to think about that, because I'm going to tell you something. There's a fellow down here in the earth who professes to be the vicar of Christ. That is, a vicarious Christ, a person who is here in place of Christ. And he expects his followers, when they see him, to bow down and kiss his hand. And the first one of these, supposedly, was Peter. Peter supposedly, according to tradition, according to the teaching of the church, Peter was the first pope. Well, let me show you something about Peter in Acts chapter 10 so you get this straight, because Peter had this straight. This doctrine you're reading about, the exalted worship due the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter had this down. In Acts chapter 10, I want you to look at it. If you don't have your Bible handy, write it down and look it up for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Read it in the Bible. Acts chapter 10, Peter goes to a man's house named Cornelius. When he walks in the door, Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10, verse 25, met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. He would not accept the worship. He would not accept the worship, therefore Peter was a pretty bad pope, if in fact he was the first one. Which, if you'll go back and study church history, if you go back and actually study the Bible, you'll find out that that's not so. But that's the tradition and teaching of the church. And I say that again, not to offend you, not to upset you, but to set the record straight. Listen, if Jesus Christ is the only one who is due the exalted worship, you and I have no business bowing down in a genuflection before statues in a church, nor bowing down before a man. Because he has been exalted that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. To him, not to a man, not to a man's images. You got that? Now we'll see a little bit more about that here in just a second. All right, not only is he exalted, do exalted worship, so he's got an exalted position, an exalted name, exalted worship, but he's exalted in heaven. There's nothing in heaven higher than he is. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven. Well, go to Revelation chapter 4 and see if this is so. Look at verse 8. The four beasts had each of them six wings about him. They were full of eyes within, and the rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down, there they are, falling down and worshiping him, before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, casting their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. There you go. As a matter of fact, John was caught up to heaven there to write all of this stuff that he had seen. And he saw a man that looked like Jesus, and he bowed down to worship him in Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. I fell at his feet, John said, to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So the one person exalted in heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. And nobody will accept worship, not even that angel that was there with John in Revelation chapter 19. All right, not only is he exalted in heaven, but he's exalted in earth. He says here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth, exalted in earth. Now, Joseph in the Old Testament, one of the greatest types of Christ in the Bible. Someone once said he's a greater type of Christ in over 150 particulars. But when I counted that up myself, I think I got up around 170-something. A bunch of things about Joseph. But one thing I want you to notice in context of what we're studying here is found in Genesis 41, verse 43. Here, Pharaoh made Joseph to ride in the second chariot, which he had, and they cried before him, Bow the knee, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. It's a picture of what's going to happen with the Lord Jesus Christ during his 1,000-year reign. Things on earth will bow the knee. Bow the knee. Look over here in Esther chapter 3 is a great comparison. There was a hot snot working for the king whose name was Haman. And there was a good Jew in the area named Mordecai. Haman wanted reverence from everybody and wanted everybody to bow down and make some big deal out of him. All the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman. For the king had so commanded concerning him, but Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. There you go. He ain't going to bow down to a man. No way in the world. Why? Because for a Jew, Exodus chapter 20 was there. Exodus chapter 20 said, you're not to bow down to any image of any man. Well, Jesus Christ is the image of God Almighty. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or earth beneath, or that is in the water beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, and so forth and so on. Let me tell you something. Years ago, when I was raised in the church that I was raised in, we'd walk in, dip our finger in holy water, and cross ourselves, we'd go in, we would genuflect there by the pew and then take our seat. And I never understood what that genuflection was about until I realized that I was bowing my knee to a box and bowing my knee to a wafer and bowing my knee to some statues that were in that church. And after I saw this here, that every knee should bow to Jesus of things in earth, no more genuflection. Not for me. Now that may be for you, but according to what you see in this text here, I wouldn't do it. So he gets exalted in heaven, he's exalted in earth, he's exalted in hell. The devil's going to bow down, and the fallen angels are going to bow down and worship the Lord Jesus Christ on their way into the lake of fire. Look in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. We're talking about the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, there's nobody higher than him, except in the throne God Almighty, but since he's God, he's the highest. In Isaiah 14, verse 12, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. You already know from the Bible that if a man will exalt himself, he'll be abased. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. No, you won't. Because verse 15 says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Coming. It's coming. But even in hell, the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted. And finally, we see in this text of Philippians chapter 2 that not only is the Lord Jesus Christ exalted position, exalted name, exalted worship, exalted in heaven, exalted in earth, exalted in hell, but he's got an exalted title. The title is Lord, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, for Christians, we can call him the Lord, because as far as we're concerned, there's only one. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. So Judas Iscariot comes in and he betrays the Lord Jesus Christ. He can't call him Lord. You know what he calls him? Master. But let me tell you something. John, who rested on his bosom at the Lord's Supper, the disciple whom Jesus loved, speaking of himself in the third person, writes the book of Revelation, and at the end of that book, look what how he ends this thing. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, he says, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And if John could call him Lord, then so can you. You know something? One of the ways you know about your salvation, one of the ways you know that you're coming to Christ is and getting saved when you're coming to call on the Lord Jesus Christ is this. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, not your sins, you'll go ahead and put those up there and wash them in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Are you willing to confess the name of the Lord Jesus? Are you willing to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you willing to repent of your sin and turn from your own righteousness, which is filthy rags, and turn to the glorious, exalted righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ? There's nobody else that can save you. Only Jesus can. And he's exalted. He's higher than the highest. Trust him. You'll be all right.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.